home has died.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, Richard.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings again from Oklahoma City.
And we welcome you to another edition of Hope is Alive. Well, Brother Ralph, I'll turn it over to you and let you know when our callers call in.
All right, thank you, sir. I sure appreciate it. And we do welcome everybody back to Hope is Alive. We're live this week. We took last week off because of the Thanksgiving weekend, our holiday. And we do hope that you had a blessed Thanksgiving. It is, we certainly have plenty to be thankful for. We have a gracious and loving God, a Lord who loves us and has given us so much with His Holy Spirit and His, and the sacrifice of His Son, that if you can't sit back and sit back and just give thanks over and over for the many blessings you've been given, you probably need deliverance, huh, Pastor?
Amen. We have so many blessings, and especially, of course, from the cross, what Jesus did for us 2,000 years ago. But it's so wonderful to have family around us and to just be thankful for all that's going on in His name.
You know, as I was listening to the introduction that's played every week before we come on, I didn't realize there's an I am in that being said. Because if you go, of course, he's reading Luke 10:19, but if you go down to verse 20, there's an I am right there underneath it. I am rejoicing that my name is recorded in heaven. You know, Pastor,
yeah.
I think your name's recorded there too. That's a good thing to rejoice over, isn't it?
Amen, and your name's in there as well, I know, Ralph.
That's right. All those who are in Christ are recorded there. And if you have any questions regarding deliverance, please go to deliveranceusa.com. There's the wealth of information there, available at the click of a mouse, on the touch of your smartphone, or however you choose to just search and surf the web. Or you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307 724-742-7582, and he will certainly get that out to you. And, Pastor, what happened this Monday?
Well, we had a great evening as usual. We had, I think it was either 11 or 12 cases, a nice workable group. We had a minister for each, so we didn't have to do any group ministry. I had a man that had driven 15 hours for ministry, and obviously he meant it. You know, there's a deal about reaching out, and some people reach out very strongly, and then when somebody brings someone they're not sure about, it, they're not reaching out so much, maybe not at all. Well, ministry just doesn't work with those people. You've got to be desperate. They're the best kind. One that's desperate, saying, help me, I'm ready. And we can take him by the hand, lead him through the steps that we learned to do, and get him to the goal in Christ Jesus and get that Jesus overhaul. But, yeah, the man I ministered to that drove, he definitely was reaching out 15 hours on the road from western Colorado. And I got the head demon up and went to a full manifestation. That is, his facial features changed, his voice changed, and he was twisting in the chair, actually slipping down in the chair a few times, actually even cowering down, especially as the head demon saw the warring angels circled around. I had him point out which of the warring angels looks the meanest or most threatening, and it took the man's hand and pointed up at a 45-degree angle, as is typical. Angels are obviously very tall, and I signed that warring angel to torment and to discipline this evil spirit as it may be needed, and so he would cooperate. And it did. I only had to have it jab him a couple of times, that demon, when I caught it being belligerent. But gave the top lies. The hit demon was loneliness, by the way. And it came in, it said, as a child. I think it said 2 years old, come to think of it. It came in when he was two. It came in through a generational curse through the mother, a 12-generational curse. I got to figuring that out. If you gave, like, 50 years to a generation, that'd be like 600 years of ancestry. And anyway, it was a big deal in his life, and it was causing a lot of strange things to go on. It had a total of 21 demons. It admitted when it came in to the church Monday night, but by the time we'd gone through the breaking of ungodly soul ties, we spent over an hour in inner healing, dealing with the traumas of the past, and getting that door closed. And there was only five demons left under the head demon. And the others had left during those other steps, the door closing prayer, the soul ties, the inner healing. Not unusual, actually. But it went so well. He got just a fantastic overhaul. And in fact, the matter is, he couldn't really hear much while the demon was up. I started to go through the lies. I got the top 10 lies. It was telling him, and after the ministry was over, I sent all those demons out to the feet of Jesus. And I started going over the lies with him. He said to me, "Who told you those?" And I said, "Well, you did, out of your mouth." He didn't know it come out of his mouth, and come to find out, when I got the God-given gifts, there were a number of gifts he didn't know he had, like healing, for example. So it was a great deliverance, and he got his wonderful overhaul. And he said the usual comment at the end, "I feel lighter." We've heard that thousands of times. But he did feel wonderful, and he just couldn't believe how good he felt. So, praise God, another one.
Well, I would bet anything, too, that of those top 10 lies you wrote down, when he said, "Who told you those things?" And he was amazed because he probably had been hearing those things being spoke to him on a daily basis. And probably it was him who thought that. You know, he thought it was his own thoughts. And it's just absolutely amazing. I know we've discussed that before on the program. And I sat through a gentleman that I know pretty well through Deliverance. And when we did this Top 10 Lies, every one of those things were things I had heard him say on more than one occasion about himself. So it didn't surprise me that I was writing those down. And, of course, when we went to the storehouse of heaven to write down some of those gifts, I'd already recognized some of those gifts in them. But because of the oppression and the assignments that were set against him, he wasn't able to access them as he should.
Yeah. And just think how many are just like him, or the one you're talking about. Those live programs are going on with Christians all over everywhere. And the enemy is trying their best to get the Christian to buy the lies. And, of course, as I've heard demons say, that they're having a hard time with the individual person with the lies because they're standing on the word too much. And that's the very lesson to all of us. The more we have an understanding of the word and who we are in Jesus, the less we'll tend to buy the lies.
That's why those I ams are so important.
Yes. Yes,
I ams are so important.
If we give out at the end of the ministry and the instructions, just start saying those out loud often so they'll become part of you, part of the person.
And if you need those I ams, you can get those by going to the website. They're on the website there, deliveranceusa.com. Or if you want a little bit more, it's a little bit more comprehensive. As far as the I ams go, it'll actually write out the scriptures, what Pastor is available, Pastor Cox is available on the website, gives the scripture, and then you have to go look it up yourself to see through it. But we have an I am confessional with Scriptures for America that's just a little bit more comprehensive. It's a booklet form, and it'll have the actual scripture written out with the I am, and then places for you to write more as you find them, because certainly they are not an exhaustive list. We are many, many things in Christ Jesus. But you can get that by also calling Richard the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you want that. I do believe that is one of the few things we hand out that is completely free of charge. Of course, if you want the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus by Pastor Cox, we do ask a $20 offering. But again, if you're unable to even give that, we want to see you set free. So we'll even get that to you at no charge. But
and those I ams, Ralph, those I ams are in the book as well.
Yes, they are in the book. That's right, they are. And it is just so important to speak them and stand upon the word. And, you know, I'll do that from time to time. Sometimes, you know, you just get down or you kind of a little depressive spirit trying to attack you. And I just try to remember the few, you know, the ones that are really off the top of my head. Like, I am a child of the King. I am loved. I am redeemed. I am saved. And one that I do often just to keep me pumped up and keep going and know that I can do things is I am able to
hold. Amen.
Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. And that is probably the I am that I say the most. I am able to do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. And when that happens, it's just like you got a pat on the back and you were told, all right, get back in the game.
you tend to start hitting your chest who you are in Jesus.
Yeah, right.
God.
And then another one I like to say is, I am not condemned because of Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So I can sit there and say, I am not condemned. And that is just a beautiful promise, and it's true for those in Christ
Jesus. And the enemy backs further and further away as you say it out loud.
They do. They do. It's part of resisting the devil. Because that's exactly what Jesus did when he was resisting the devil. He was speaking the I ams of the word.
It is written.
It is written. It is written. Praise the Lord. Well, Pastor, did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Actually, we had three.
three.
with different segments of the family. We had one, a big one Wednesday night, probably 25 people there, and then another one Christmas Day, and then another one on Friday here at our house with a few of the family, and I smoked a chicken, and I mean chicken, a turkey, smoked a turkey, and had a great time. So I'll have to say I'm pretty well fed.
Yes, and we've had some really good weather, too, so I know you've been out taking advantage of that great weather we've been having.
Yes.
We've been blessed this year, this time of the year, it's a little unusually warm for us. Well, Pastor, we do have Jana. Thank you, Jana, for calling this evening.
Yeah.
Yes, hi, Jana. I'm so glad you called in. And why don't you go ahead, Jana, and give some history on yourself. And when you were born again, and how you learned about deliverance, you could do that, and what your deliverance was like, and just go right ahead. There's some noise in the background I'm hearing. You might back away from your phone some. Sometimes a person distorts the phone.
Is this better?
By being too close to it. But go right ahead.
Was raised in a Christian home. My dad is a pastor, so he was a minister that didn't just talk, but he lived out the Word of God. And we had daily family devotions. We went to church every week, but I had always struggled with fear and anxiety for most of my life, or a majority of my life. I don't know exactly when I was born again, because I know I was a young child. When my mom was expecting my little brother, he said that I would go around going, "I have Jesus in my heart. You want to feel him kicking?" I've always had a sensitive spirit towards God, and so that's a little bit about with that. And I have three kids, and I'm an orchestra director.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I heard of Deliverance Ministries from my dad. One of his close prayer partner and one of his best friends, he heads up the Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. My first experience with deliverance was with my husband last month. And I've always heard of spiritual warfare. I've studied it in some ways, but I have never experienced in demon possession, but I have never experienced it, encountered it before. But last month I had, my husband was dealing with some addiction, and I had prayed over him and assisted in casting out with my dad. We had helped to assist of casting out several entities, and the morning of, God had showed me Psalm 91, and that was the scripture I read with my husband's deliverance. And this experience activated all the Bible verses that I'd learned growing up. But after this experience, I knew that I needed more guidance and needed help, and somebody that had training with that. So my dad got me in touch with the Deliverance Ministry coordinator. And that coordinator, he arranged with me meeting with a lovely woman and one afternoon, and she guided me through breaking ungodly ties. And through our meetings, the spirit of fear was holding on, and she was like, "Why won't it leave?" And she was trying to, we were praying, and it said at one point, it said it owned me. And she was just mm-hmm. like, "Okay, we're going to have to go all the way back to the womb." And I found out that it had been assigned to me because God had, the gift I had been received when I was love for my family. And so she had read right before it finally released, she read that perfect love casts out all fear. And as I was holding the Bible and she read that verse, they told the spirit of fear it had to go out. In Jesus' name, it had to go. A few seconds after that, the spirit of fear left. No, since that day, I can't say I haven't had spiritual attacks because that Satan has, but I haven't had the fear and anxiety that I've lived with most of my life. Like, I've been making sure to give every thought to giving that to God, and He just keeps continuing to give me the peace of mind. I read my five I Am's every day, casting my cares onto Jesus Christ, and been making sure to read my Bible, and it just has, with this whole experience, it has really changed me from where I just learned everything to now where living it out, where before it was just kind of where it was head knowledge, but now of like personalizing it, how much how God really does care for me and Jesus, and how the Holy Spirit, how all three of them work together, and it's amazing. And with this experience, because we had my person that my counselor, she guided with, of like giving my fear, giving my hurt, giving them to Jesus and putting it at His feet, and so I've been able to teach that to my three kids, and it's just been so sweet to see how God is changing their lives and working in their lives, and because of opening that they're getting stronger in their faith, and it has completely changed our family in the greatest way possible. They're being led to pray and they've been asking great questions of like, how do I know what is from God and what is not from God? And so we've been able to open up that with like the fruits of the Spirit, and it's just been really, really neat how God's been working through this experience, how He's opened the door to minister to my children.
So awesome, Jana. Wow, you're really getting a hold on all this. That's awesome that you would learn so much in a short period of time. Well, when you were ministered to, could you feel those spirits coming out? And what went on there?
Yeah, my counselor, she was like, you might feel like I was at first kind of nervous, but she said you might feel like a burp, as we were doing one prayer, I had a huge burp that came out, and also while I was breaking through, it was like yawns, and for several, even for the rest of that week, because I met her on a Tuesday, and for the remainder of that week, I could still feel as, you know, God was still releasing whatever was left. Whatever it was still coming out, and it was, but there was just an overwhelming peace, like, and I just hadn't had before.
Yes.
And, go ahead.
Sometimes there is delayed deliverance like that, where they'll still come out for a week or two after deliverance, and you just keep feeling better and better. I guess you felt pretty good afterwards.
Yeah. I was exhausted, but I could tell a big difference. And at the time I had been doing yoga, and so it was just like after meeting with her, she said, you know, needing to release that. And so I prayed about it, and God was like, yes, you're done with this. And so I was like, okay. And so that I met with her on a Tuesday, and that Saturday, that whole weekend, the Spirit was just guiding me of the things that I needed to discard. And so things that I had forgotten were things replaced. The Holy Spirit was like, hey, remember that. You need to discard. Okay, yep, okay, and got it out. And just with all that, it was just, again, another release and just a peace, and just knowing that I'm doing what God wanted me to do.
You know, what you all have experienced, where both the husband and the wife get ministry, how awesome is that? You know, otherwise, since we find most people have about three dozen spirits each, a couple, the husband and the wife having, say, several dozen spirits, each of them, how's the marriage? Well, would it be better with those spirits gone? So is that what you're seeing now with these, both you and your husband having had deliverance?
Yes. God is working to restore our marriage, and that'll be a process because, again, it's just because before there wasn't a there was a spirit of lying, and so the truth is now come and hold and realizing that, and so it's just shining that light, and God has been doing that and bringing out a true intimacy, and it's been. And also just realizing that staying strong in His Word and His truth, in God's truth and His Word, and that He'll be there.
Have some of the people, your friends or relatives, noticed that you all seem different?
Yes. My mom, she could tell different, and partly, I don't know if a lot of people yet have seen it, because, like, I am, you know, like, I was able to, it looked like on the surface that I was okay, but, so I don't know how many people really knew how much I was suffering with a lot of the fear, but I can just feel there's a big peace, and I think without a doubt, I know that people will see that as it comes out more of just, I just don't stress as much about the little things, and my eyes have been open to what's really important.
Yeah, praise God. You know, in the ministry, we so often see that people look so different compared to when they came in and we started in the ministry, and to when they leave. They a lot of times look younger, their faces are brighter, and all that. It's most astonishing. And we thought about taking pictures before and after. Of course, most people are so nervous to start with. I guess that'd make it even worse. We said, if you stand over here and want to get your picture first before the ministry. But it is astonishing. And I'll bet you were the same way. Did you feel lighter?
Yes, I did. It was just, I was like, huh, I would never thought. You know, I didn't realize that was a thing. It just blew my mind that we had to go all the way to the womb. And I was like, what? And it just made a perspective, you know, like how God is in control of all the generations before and going forward. And it was like, wow, there really is, like, where God says, you know, time is irrelevant, and I was like, oh, it just kind of it blew the box of time for me. So.
Yeah, it's so good your minister took you through the womb, did that technique. Who was your minister? I've forgotten who it was.
Linda Yancey.
Oh, yeah, right. Linda's been with us quite a few years and is one of our best ministers. So that was great. And she's good at it. Well, I guess your husband saw some changes in you as well.
Yes.
Well, are you starting to share your experience with people around you?
Yes. I've been telling that to other, you know, especially with my family. I just went back to work on this past Monday, just telling them about the new things I've been learning and experience and how God's been working. And so yeah, it's been amazing. God is good.
Are some of the people rather amazed about what you went through?
Yeah. Some of them are kind of like, what? they're just kind of taken back a bit by it. But they're like, oh, wow. Because it definitely opened my eyes of realizing where, you know, you have the Ephesians 6 of where it's a spiritual warfare and just how much that really is. And so people who know that, they're not shocked. And then other ones that are like, what? Because they haven't. So it's been very impactful.
Even most Christians we find be a small percentage of the Christian body that have received the kind of ministry you got in terms of dealing with all those things in your life and getting the spirits out. Most people just cope with them. They kind of hold them down. They're tormented, but they live the rest of their life that way. They don't know there's an answer that somebody could minister to them like this. Of course, most there's not a lot of people around that minister in this. I have people that call and say, nobody's doing this in my state. You know, they see our website. So that's why we're trying to develop an army. Have you thought about going through our training, Janet?
I'm very open to it. I haven't looked into it yet, but yes, I'm very interested and open to it.
We've had quite a few young people start in to the ministry training here recently, and they're just totally fired up. You know, they're so gung-ho. They're energized, and boy, they're into it. You know, they're just soaking it up. I love to see that. And if we could get an army going like that, it's got to have an impact on the hurting people out there.
Oh, yes.
Well, anything else you'd like to share? We got a couple minutes left yet. Anything else come to you that would be interesting for the listeners?
It's just realizing how I've been through this process. It's just been amazing that, yes, releasing this, the peace that I've experienced. Also, I've been going through a lot of hurt and pain, but it's been so good that God's been there, and where Jesus said, I'll give you your daily bread, and how every day that he has given me just exactly what I've needed to get through that day of supporting me, or through Bible verses, or just the simple of a person texting me, or just calling, and it's just amazing that it reaffirms that God sees me, he loves me, and knowing how much he really cares about each person. He wants the best, and partly I had to realize that I need to make sure that I'm being upfront with God, that I'm being open and honest and having a clean heart and coming to him. And so it's been very, I'm just thankful. As hard as this experience has been last month, I'm just thankful that God did bring it to me, because that's only deepened my faith in him. So, and I hope somebody, whoever is hurting, just knows that God is there and wanting to be there for you.
Yes, he's our spiritual daddy, and you're his spiritual child. It's so neat to have that relationship, and he loves you just like that. Well, thank you so much, Janet, for sharing tonight. It was a great testimony, and I'm excited to hear how you're going forward. Bless
you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, she did get a good minister with Linda. So.
Yeah. That was awesome.
She likes to use her angels and put them to work, so I'm sure she put them to work on her, too.
Yeah, probably so. You know, it's exciting to hear young people like that, Ralph.
Yes.
And to hear them say all that, you know,
yes,
where
it
they're,
is.
Think what a base they've got under them now to go the rest of their lives.
I know.
We didn't have that advantage, you know.
No, I see.
I wish I'd have known this earlier.
Yeah, I didn't quite. If she said her age, I didn't catch it, but I could tell she was young from her voice. Pastor, we have Lynn. Lynn, thank you for calling us this evening.
Oh, you bet.
Yeah, Lynn, thanks for calling in, brother.
Oh, you bet, Everett. No problem.
Well, why don't you go ahead and give some background on yourself, Lynn, and when you were born again, how you learned about deliverance, and what your deliverance was like, and any changes you've seen. So
okay.
Why don't you go ahead?
Okay. My life kind of story was about like yours, Everett. Just went to church from an early age, and was always in church when the doors were open, Wednesday nights, you know. And so probably around 7 to 10 years old, probably accepted Christ. And then just kept on living life, you know. All my buddies were church buddies, so we all hung around each other at high school and college. Mm-hmm. And so life just kept on going on, kind of about like yours, and got jobs, married, kids. So, and just kind of just living life like that. So, so I guess it's turmoil kind of hit the family, I guess, pretty hard here recently over the last couple of years kind of deal. So, and then mom and dad are getting older, and I think dementia set in, and they was not trusting their kids anymore. They was accusing us of stealing and taking all their stuff, and so that was pretty hard to deal with. And so I think it was our little daughter-in-law found out about deliverance, and went, well, you know, why not, you know, try something, you know. So like I said, I think we've kind of hit rock bottom with all other family, too. So it was just a time that we decided to go. My wife said, let's go, and so we did. And so both of us went there that same night. And so
Lynn, I remember talking to you at the break, and you were saying, why doesn't everybody know about this? You might comment on that. We were talking about it.
Right, right. It was, you know, like I said, you thought you'd had a, you know, just to get some kind of peace, or just to... anything to feel better, you know, and so there should be a line, like you said, out the door of people trying to get in to see what this was all about, you know. And yeah, everybody has difficulties, no doubt. And yeah, it is surprising, only like 10 or 15 people that night, but that was a good group for us, you know. That was so. But
commented about you hadn't heard about demons any before. I remember
that's right.
When we were
right. Yeah, and never heard of never heard of it growing up. And even though he's in church all the time, I never heard about demons. You know, just only on TV kind of deal. And yeah, it was one of just kind of said recently heard about that, and just like, well, it's just crazy. you know, kind of like what you said too, it just doesn't seem normal or right or whatever the word it might be, but it makes sense, you know, now that going through your class and stuff like that. So, quite an eye awakening.
Well, when you got into deliverance with your minister, was it Chuck that worked with you?
Yes, it was.
It was, wasn't it?
Yes.
Chuck.
Right, it was. Right.
How'd it go? What seemed to go on in your ministry session?
Like I said, the forgiveness, I think, was the big deal that he kind of... was talking about mostly too, that and he says just kind of go over people that you need to forgive, and so I kind of went over that, what I could think of, and it was one of those deals too. He said, put your feet up here, and I kind of went, what, you know, kind of deal. He says, yeah, stretch your legs out straight out. And I did it, and he says, no, they're not, your legs are not even. And one's longer than the other by just a little bit. He said, there's somebody else that you need to forgive. And so he says, well, is there anybody else? And he kind of went, maybe a boss or somebody like that. And I went, yeah, yeah, sure enough. And forgave him, went through that little process again, and put my legs back straight out, and he said, yeah, they're even again now. So that was kind of interesting and weird, all in the same kind of deal. But going through all that, you know, I did feel peace, you know, after we did leave, and where our life was in such a turmoil.
Did you feel the spirits coming out, Lynn, or what went on there?
No, I never did feel anything. And so
okay.
I bought your book, and so I was reading that, and so I read that I think some people do feel something and some people don't. You know, they're all different. People
yeah,
all are different,
that's right.
So that made me feel a little bit better.
It's not by feeling, but it's by the word as a Christian speaks it. And some people are just not sensitive that way, and they don't feel
it, right.
But they still get free.
Right,
so
right,
what else
right.
went on that you'd like to share on your deliverance? How'd it go when you wound up?
When we finished up, is that what you said?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, everything went real well. Like I said, talked to my wife later, and she was dealing with neck issues. She was even in a little traction contraption, I guess you want to call it, that was helping her neck and stuff like that. And so she said that whenever she went through, she hasn't had any more pain, you know, on her neck or anything like that. So that's kind of interesting to hear, too. So interesting stuff.
Well, it is. And the man I had this last Monday driven 15 hours to come from Western Colorado. And among other things, he had a neck problem where he couldn't turn his head all the way one direction. And he had pain up there in the back of his neck, and as he went through the limb check, it's what we call that, what Chuck was doing with you when he looked to see if you had a short leg and all.
Right.
And, his pain left. He was amazed he could turn his head, and I said, well, do anything else that bothered you before, see if it hurt you. Well, he's going around the room squatting and, you know, twisting. No pain. And we've seen hundreds, maybe thousands of those now. It's most amazing, and it isn't a special gift. It's normal Christianity. All Christians can do these things in His name. Is that a
right
thing or what?
Yeah, that is just crazy. You know, like I said, that again, back to why you don't have a line out the church door, you know, is just beyond me. So
maybe our prices, Lynn, maybe our price is too high. If we we can lower it and start paying them to come.
Yeah, that might be a trick right there, won't it?
All right. Lower our price and then pay them, therefore, to come. Oh, gosh. Well, it's exciting that any of us can be in the middle of the action and see all this happen week after week. And maybe the Lord would lead you to come through our training at some point, Lynn.
Yeah, it's definitely something I was thinking about. So, and I kind of you kind of mentioned it too that you was kind of sat in, you know, as just a bystander for four or five times or whatever you did, and
then
just kind of observed.
Actually. Yeah, many months.
Many months.
Uh-huh, and then
did
I,
you? Okay.
I kept reading books. I kept reading books about it and setting in on more and more ministry, and then the day finally came I felt comfortable in doing one.
Right.
It's gone from there. But,
yeah,
today, for example, you would have a running start because we've put these steps together that we didn't have back then, these steps together, and it, if you learn to do the steps, you can move into ministry. You have a checklist to follow. And as you do
right.
those, you can minister to thousands of people out there and do quite well with most of them.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah, it's definitely something I'd like to check out again for sure, you know, because I just kind of YouTubed you, and I saw some of your messages on YouTube also. And
yeah.
and try to remember what we all did in class on Monday night too. So that was helpful.
Mm-hmm. Well, have you shared any of this with your friends yet, Lynn?
Have I visited with my friends yet? Yes. Yeah.
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 Well,
and. Like I said, most of my friends have just gone to the same church, you know, all our lives and stuff. We had the same background, so I ended up talking to another gentleman, and he went, yeah, there's definitely, you know, something going on, you know, spiritual warfare going on, you know, but exactly what, he didn't really know either, you know, kind of deal, so... So it's the word needs to get out,
well,
no doubt, Everett. So
it is. It's a challenge, and of course that's why we're doing the radio show tonight. Was trying to encourage people about this works of the of Jesus and the gospel and these commands he gave us to do this. It's rather amazing that, like Mark 16:17, John 14:12, where Jesus commanded us even. To do this kind of ministry in his name and to do his same works. I have to, as I often say, I have to pinch myself on that one ever so often, that little us are supposed to be doing the things that Jesus did in his name. Little us.
Right.
Well,
right.
Sure
right.
enough, as we step out, we find we can do these amazing things, see miracles, see demons cast out, and it just, most amazing and the most adventurous part of my life. I've been at it 41 years now, and over, I just praise God that somebody shared it. I could have missed it very easily.
Right, right.
My goodness,
right.
It's been the most fulfilling time of my life, and with joy and peace and happiness and the fulfillment that goes with it is just awesome. Now, I'm on a
right.
high most of the time. You know, I used to drink beer and stuff, and I occasionally
right.
will do that, and wine or something, but if I take more than one, I start coming off the high. I'm already on.
I
want to stay on the godly high.
Right, right. That makes more sense, doesn't it? Definitely makes more sense. So, yeah, I kind of even thought this was even, like I said, that was all disciple time, you know, that all these healings happened and stuff like that, too. And then I kind of knew in, like, maybe Africa or somewhere like that, there was probably more demon-possessed and stuff like that. Possibly over there, but, you know, United States, we're protected or something. I don't know what I was thinking. So you don't hear of anything like that here.
I've been to Haiti twice and ministered down there, and I thought the first time I'd go down there, I'd really find heavy demonic activity. And I was amazed that I seemed to flush up fewer demonic manifestations down there than I did up here in ministering to the
really
just, you know, mom and apple pie places and
yeah.
I was real active in the full gospel businessmen. I did 56 banquets and would give my testimony and have an altar call and people would manifest and all. And but I go down
right
there and minister in prayer lines and I asked the pastors, the Haitian pastors, about it. And some of them had even been up here, and they said, well, here's the difference we see. Down here in Haiti, everybody grew up around voodoo. They know all about demons. But you go
yeah
in the United States, they don't know anything about demons. The demons have
yeah
a free ride. You know, they can move unhindered. So
right
that makes
right
sense to me that we just, we don't ever resist anything, is like James 4:7 says, 1 Peter 5:8. We just kind of go about our business and wonder why we have all these problems going on.
Right,
so,
right.
It's kind of sad, isn't
yeah
it, that we're too sophisticated to imagine there might be demons.
Yeah. We just go to the doctor and they just dope us up, you know, for our whatever ailment we may be having. Like I said, the old man, old and tired, or like I said, the, in your book, old and tired, and some of the other lethargic or whatever, just can't move, and that's part of the demons in there. So that was surprising to me, too. So very interesting stuff.
Yes, sir. Spirits of sickness, you know, Jesus in Luke 13 cast the spirit of infirmity out and of a woman, and he said that this was this was from Satan. It had been in this woman these 18 years, a spirit of infirmity, you know. And so, and those spirits of infirmity are obviously, we run into them quite a bit. In fact, we've kind of learned that if somebody's got a sickness problem, the best approach is to, of course, make sure they're okay in the unforgiveness. We found that's a huge door. Forgiving
right
themselves,
right,
others, and even God sometimes is needed, not realizing that Satan's doing his stuff. And so, yeah, when we address the spirit of infirmity, commanding it to come out, and then pray healing, we see really
mm-hmm
amazing results.
Yeah, that's cool. That's real cool.
Well, we're about out of time. Before we wind up, Lynn, is there anything else you would say to the listeners?
Like I said, I was skeptical until you go to class and read your book. And like I said, I just never heard of it before. Here we are, you know, over 50 years old and never heard of anything like this. So, and very skeptical at that. So, but whenever your life comes crashing down on you, you know, so, something's going on. And like I said, it's, somehow or another, like I said, it's, I've got peace, you know, that's, and my wife's neck feels better, and that, you know, that's all good, you know. So
amen.
Yeah, praise God to that. I mean, right? So that's a nice changes, you know. So yeah, definitely appreciate your work.
Well, thank you, Lynn. I appreciate that, and thank you for sharing. That was a great testimony, and I believe we'll encourage the listeners out there to look into this.
Well, yeah, yes, definitely.
Good evening. Thank you for joining.
Yes, thanks again. Talk to you later,
Lynn. Oh, you bet.
God bless.
Okay. All right, thanks, Deborah. Bye. Bye.
Well, two fantastic testimonies of people set free, and one very young, and if I gather right, Lynn said he was in his, I don't know if he said he was 50 or in his 50s, but it's never too late to learn about deliverance, never too early as well, but I just praise God that both of them are, and they seem like they're both on fire for the Lord. And just thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Well, if you have any questions regarding deliverance, again, that's deliveranceusa.com. It's the wealth of information on that website. Check it out if you haven't. And if you have, use the tools that are there. Or you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Yeah, we do thank everybody for joining us this week. We ask you to have a blessed evening. Thank you, and good night.
God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
To overcome,
nothing will harm you.
Nothing
will harm you.